Welcome to the Patient Partner Innovation Community Podcast, a podcast created to inform patients, families, and caregivers about important health transformation topics. Since the 2001 Crossing the Quality Chasm Report by the Institute of Medicine, our nation's healthcare system has recognized its need to improve quality of care by way of six important aims that make healthcare safe, efficient, effective, patient-centered, timely, and equitable. But we cannot hope to cross this chasm and achieve these aims until we make fundamental changes to the whole healthcare system. All levels of this work require dramatic improvements from the patient's experience. So this podcast is dedicated to you, the voices most underutilized resource in healthcare, our patients' voices. Welcome, and we hope you enjoy the Patient Partner Innovation Community Podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Natasha Washington, president and founder of ATW Health Solutions and sponsor for the Patient Partner Innovation Community. Follow the PPIC community online at atwhealth.com.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Patient Partner Innovation Community. We say lovingly PPIC for short podcast. I am really excited to get the conversation going. We have a very special guest, Mr. Reggie Barnes, and he's going to share all about the autoimmune registry and what's important about the autoimmune registry and why should we get involved and what should we need to know. But before we get started, I always want to highlight our sponsor. We could not make this podcast happen without the support of our sponsor. So this episode is brought to you by ATW Health Solutions today. ATW Health Solutions is a Chicago-based healthcare advisory and consulting firm that has gained national recognition for transforming healthcare ordinary to best in class. At ATW Health Solutions, we use a data-driven, evidence-based approach to make healthcare better by focusing on improving quality, safety, and health equity in organizations and government agencies across the land. Simply put, we create and implement innovative solutions for the right problems and the right people. So, you know, I'm excited. So welcome, Mr. Reggie Barnes. I know you as we've gotten to know each other quite well over these past couple of weeks, but our listeners don't know you. So maybe you could take a minute to kind of introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Reggie Barnes. I am a Black male, standing about 6 feet tall and about 200 pounds. And I am the Director of Patient Partnership for the Autoimmune Registry. The Autoimmune Registry was established in 2016 as a 501c3 nonprofit with the goal of reflecting autoimmune system similar to the cancer registry. There's over 150 autoimmune diseases in the United States, and it affects 8% of the American populace, and 78% of most women are more susceptible to autoimmune diseases. And based on that, the NIH established this year the Office of Autoimmune Disease Research and the Office of Women Health for the goal of trying to attack this terrible chronic condition. So that's a little bit about our mission. We empower awesome. Patients, facilitate research, and can collaborate with other advocacy groups. So Desiree, that's a little bit about what we do.
That's awesome. So, wow, women, that statistic that you just said, like, hit me as I am an African-American Black female, and, you know, I had no idea. So it's almost like thinking about a call to action for people to kind of spread the word and get involved. So I'm going to back us up a little bit. So what made you even get involved with this organization from the beginning?
Well, I am a autoimmune patient myself. I have a rare condition called GAD 65 autoimmune encephalitis, which is a long word. In simple language, my brain is on fire. It's inflamed, and my spinal cord. It caused me to be disabled, had onsets of the condition of seizures and other debilitating conditions, where I was homebound, bedbound basically for over a decade due to my condition. And luckily, after 15 years, I found a doctor that was able to identify what's wrong with me. My condition only affects 20,000 people in the United States, so it's extremely rare. A rare
Whoa.
condition affects 200,000, and my condition affects 20,000. So it's a very rare condition. And after 15 years of living the odyssey of trying to find the proper doctor and medical care, I wasn't identified in 2015 what the condition was. And I started treatment. And about 2 years ago, I was contacted by the Autoimmune Registry to come on board and to share the wonderful news of the nonprofit world and the benefits that we could do to make change, in particular in clinical trials, as well as other ways of working with advocacy groups, other autoimmune condition people may be familiar with is type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, or MS, being three of the largest ones. And most people that have autoimmune conditions have more than one. So
Wow.
it's almost like a rolling downhill. And I have also other autoimmune conditions. So I work with other organizations and try to bring them together and try to get them to sign on to our registry. It's a patient-driven system, which means that we would like for people to go to our website, theautoimmuneregistry.org, and sign up to be a patient and input their symptoms that they may have. And again, research is only as useful as the people that participate into the system. And minorities, we have a history of not participating in research because there is, in the past, we have to be honest, it was not always good for trying out new medications. We're trying to change that. There's been a lot of progress with the AMA admitting of what happened to Tuskegee. And I'm not going to get into that if you like, but we as patient, when we control our information, we're in the driver's seat rather than the other way around. So that's a little bit why I got involved with it. I'm passionate about what we're doing.
Yeah, and you brought up several important points, but you're right. Like patients, there is this mistrust, and even as recent as I would say COVID, there was so much fake news and misconceptions, and people were kind of going off social media to kind of educate themselves, and not everything that was out there was validated and true. But patients and community partners, and I'm just gonna say everyday people, there is this resistance to get involved in research. And yes, I acknowledge that Tuskegee happened and other, what is it, Henrietta Lacks and all these
Yes.
different things that happen in the research space. But now there's some accountabilities in place, and it's us, like together, that have to work to kind of spread the word, those trusted voices in the work to say, hey, it's okay. This has been vetted. This is a trusted partner. Come on, we need you to get involved in this work. Because again, to your point, especially people of color, Like persons of color, there is such an enormous gap in participation in clinical trials and research in general. And so what can we do, you know, as I would say the responsibility as a patient advocate to really inform the public, hey, get involved, get involved, get involved. But even, and I'll say this, I'm thinking about when with COVID-19 and when the vaccine came out, I had a lot of people close to me that, you know, I figured, okay, you know, you need to get your vaccine. And I was hit with some unexpected resistance, which was almost like a reality check for me to say, okay, there is such a mistrust here, and it's still kind of lingering in the background. So yeah, I appreciate that your organization is really trying to do what they can do, right, to increase that footprint as it relates to diversity in the space. So thinking about the organization, so you kind of gave us, is there a cost to get involved in the autoimmune no. registry?
No, no, there's no cost for you to go to the website and sign up. And again, our focus is three prongs. You know, again, patients. We are empowered. We provide empowerment by engaging with controlling your information, your medical records and so on, and symptoms. Facilitating the research, and we do work with companies regarding clinical trials, is that, you know, to find a cure for the rare conditions, for illnesses that we know that will be affecting millions of people. Mm-hmm. And your key point about COVID-19, it was a lot of misinformation. Where's the information coming? Was it tested properly? Things like that. You know, honest questions that if you don't know where to find that right answer, it could be very confusing. It could be very misleading, you know, and everything that we have that we work with, you can validate it on clinicaltrials.gov so that you know that our information is valid. And with the fact that my main target is to work with other advocacy groups, you know, like the Brain Inflammation Collective or Open Medicine, Select Disease, as well as the other ones that I talked about earlier with the MS, the experts on the conditions that are out there, and a little bit more insight where I'm coming from. My disease is not cured, it's managed. And the medication that I get for it is called IVIG, which is a blood plasma biologic. And I have to get this infusion, comes in an infusion every 30 days. It takes a minimum of 10,000 people to donate plasma
blood
to make this treatment. And I've been on it since 2015. Wow. And the cost for that medication over a full year is over six figures for that one medication.
Wow.
I am a very blessed individual to be able to, A, have them find the illness, B, get the medication to help control it, and three, to talk about how it's beneficial for other people. I don't want people to have to go through the long odyssey that I did, but I want people to be empowered to know that if they're showing symptoms, a symptom that you may not think is big, that you should go to the doctor to find out what it is and manage. You don't want to wait until the last minute where, you know, then you have no options.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's in my head, I feel like it should be shared, you know. I don't want to see people get in boxes. We had 1 million people died of COVID-19.
Yeah.
And we don't know what may be coming around the corner.
That's right.
you know, but it takes honest communication to get people to know, to people to be verified. You know, we are a platinum nonprofit, you know, which is the highest standard. And the people that with my organization, they are top quality individuals. Aaron Aben, who is the executive director, started in 2016 with the goal of, you know, providing the resource to patients. So hopefully I've answered your question. That was
you
great.
You did. And it's interesting to think about the financial, like oftentimes the financial part is the elephant in the room and nobody wants to bring it up and nobody wants about it. But you think about, and when you said how many people it takes to make the medication, to donate plasma, that is a lot of, I'm just looking in my head of all these faces of people that donate and what are the resources it takes to run the facility and, you know, make this. So there's dollars connected to us not finding cures and efficient treatments for these conditions. And it just breaks my heart that people are so resistant to help, I'll say. It's, and I know there's fears. I totally understand. I have people in very close to me that are fearful of the healthcare system. It's funny. I grew up, most of you guys know, if you've been listening to the podcast, I'm from New Orleans and most of my family is from the very deep south of Louisiana. And we don't, you know, because of what has been out there. And I'm just hoping that through this podcast and bringing on guests to kind of talk about all the different components, that we can break down some of those myths and barriers that people will be like, okay, I'm going to go on autoimmune registry and I'm going to see what it is all about. At least go to the website and read about it. If take the first step, take the first step, you know.
That is so important. Without information, without valid, concise information, we're at the whims of speculation and just general emotion. Some of the symptoms that I have with my autoimmune encephalitis is that at certain times when I was having a flare up, again, your brain is firing, all your neurons are just going, and you're having seizures. And some of the side effects is psychotic behavior, acting really strange, smelling things that don't exist. And I have had the uncomfortable experience of having people that were close to me think, oh, you're just crazy, we should just put you away. Without them knowing or going through the research of trying to find help with me. You know, and because that's like, oh, you know, we say that so often. Well, you just put this, or you just on drugs, you know, you're doing this. But there's a reason why things happen. And we're looking at the statistics, you know, and wanting to find out, why does it only affect women? Why does it only affect this group? The only way that we could engage in trying to find out is by taking ownership and believing. You know, it's, I don't want people to go through my odyssey and the pain that I went through, because it was very painful, you know, because no one knew about it. You know, you're talking about my condition, most hospital doctors have never had a patient like me. The hospitals or doctors not knowing what to do. And they just shuffle you to another room. And my prior experience, I worked for Fortune 500 companies, the largest oil company in the world, or, you know, PepsiCo and so on. I was an executive. So I was not really used to you know, people just like throwing something out. I'm a data guy, you know, show me the proof. Let me find, Let me get to the root cause, but I never gave up on myself, knowing that my truth was real. There was a reason why I was feeling this way, because I was very healthy until the onset of my disease, which started with a tonsil ache.
Wow.
At 40 years old, I was having tonsillitis. And from there on, from being healthy, then going into a point of having heart attacks, this, that, everything you think of over 2 years, 3 years, I had until they found something that was wrong, but they didn't know what it was. Cardiac encephalitis wasn't actually a disease until 2008, until it was uncovered. There is a wonderful movie on my condition called Brain on Fire.
And okay, Brain on Fire. Okay.
And it will give you a horrific true life experience of what I lived through. Because it does come on suddenly. I'm lucky I'm alive. Some people that get autoimmune encephalitis, it is fatal. 20%, 25% of people do die. Working with other organizations in the autoimmune community, there's people out there that are working very hard to prevent that. But it takes a partnership. It's not one-sided. We have a voice to communicate. And there's nothing wrong with disagreement, because at least there's dialogue. But as they say, show me the beef, or show me the real thing, okay?
Yes.
So that we can find out what's actually causing the problem. So.
Wow, that's, well, I'll say this. I commend your courage for it. It's not easy coming on a public platform and sharing your pain. And my husband gave me this saying, me and my husband have been married 25 years. Always says, you take your pain and you turn your pain into purpose. And so that sticks with me, not only in my personal life, but my professional life, as well as, I landed here in healthcare quality and patient engagement because of my own child that has a rare disease and no one knew what it was or what to do or how to do. So I feel your pain, but it is awareness and having the courage to kind of speak about it, I think, is also key. So our listening pool is very diverse. So I'll say, for those that are listening, I'll start with patients, community partners, and then you can jump to clinicians and also healthcare leaders. What advice would you give them if they are, I use the word hesitant, to get involved? Is there any advice you would give our listeners to engage in the autoimmune registry or get involved in clinical trials and research, from your experience?
I would say, and it's wonderful to be in the nonprofit world because you can come from any background with any level of expertise. It's not a discriminatory segment of the populace. It's for everyone. To volunteer your time to help your fellow person, your fellow individual, I think is a higher calling. It's the easy calling. I have a son that has an autoimmune condition also. He has sickle cell anemia, which is not an autoimmune condition. And so I had the background of understanding the difficulties of being a parent, as well as being a current person with the disease, that when you are given the opportunity to try to solve a problem, that's going to affect everyone. Everyone's going to have to go to the doctor eventually.
Yep.
And trying to be ahead of the game instead of in the back. We went through, our ancestors went through back the bus mentality.
Yes.
And the challenges that they did. This is an opportunity today to change that paradigm. You know, and there's a lot of wonderful organizations that are looking for individuals to volunteer their time to help with this endless condition, you know, the future in science with genetics, you know, and DNA sequencing, you try to create medication to help solve future problems. That is the new frontier. And to be involved with that from the beginning, that's one step away from preventing another, you know, COVID-19 episode that we lived through. I don't think I want to live through another one.
Me either.
But, you know, but the reality was, it's really kind of interesting. I was living with precautions because my immune system is compromised. That people live through with COVID-19, I was living that way anyway. It was absolutely no difference, you know, wearing masks and things like that. So, you know, if you're afraid.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing about the autoimmune registry. I'll say before I let you go, how you give us that website one more time. You're welcome to share, you know, whatever information you want to share for them to get connected with the autoimmune registry. How can they find you?
Please go to the autoimmuneregistry.com, or we're on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you could, we do accept donations. We are a nonprofit, and it's a great opportunity to try to make a difference for other people. But we're just like any other person. You know, it's an invisible disease, but it's a disease that you probably had someone in your household that's been touched by it. And we want to help touch in a way of trying to find a cure for those people. So please take time to go on and register, and also our other companies that we work with. And there's many, like Type 1 Diabetes Association and, you know, Open Medicine, and even SolveME, which is working on post-COVID-19 syndromes. So I am really thankful for you giving me this opportunity to talk about my organization. And it's been a blast. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. And for all of you that are listening, if you look at the copy of on wherever you stream the podcast, the resources will be there. You can go to our website, atwhealth.com, and our podcast button is there. And if you go there, you can find the episode and you can look at all the resources that we reference during this, the website, all the information. And again, if you are an advocacy organization, I encourage you to reach out to the Autoimmune Registry and see what you can do, how to partner. Again, if you're looking to donate, please go there, consider donating to the Autoimmune Registry. You know, we're all holidays, even though we're halfway through the year, we're thinking about holidays and we tend to kind of donate to different organizations. Please put the Autoimmune Registry on your donation Christmas list as well. And I just want to thank you guys for tuning in. We do appreciate your engagement. Thank you, Mr. Barnes, for coming on and sharing all this wonderful information with us. And as always, guys, be engaged.
Follow the PFIC community online at atwhealth.com.